Facts, baby.
First of all, it is season.
I'm sorry. I didn't know you were going. Okay. I was trying to fix the mic.
You could have just fixed it. Like, it wouldn't have hurt it. It's fine.
Well, okay. I usually look at the camera and smile.
I'm over here trying to look at you.
Okay. Sorry.
Don't know why.
Hold on. Speaking of looking at each other, I was just not even.
Most of the time, I don't look at you like that either.
Okay.
But it's because of how it is.
Because you eat me.
Because I love you. This looks like a hoodie, and it's okay.
A big hoodie.
Who cares? It's my hoodie, so you could always say that. You ready?
I just hold it like that.
You don't, no, it's okay. Thank you for joining us.
Okay,
today.
Why would you stop?
What?
You started while I was still doing it.
Yes, nobody knows you're doing over there. Taking over for the 992,000. Working with some class here. Back then, which is better than that then.
Okay.
I don't even know what they were saying. Shout out to Juvenile and them back in 2000s. Girl, you look good. Won't you back that thing up?
Okay.
He's a big fine woman. Won't you back that thing up? You know?
Yeah.
Call me Big Daddy when you back that thing up. Who are they talking to? See? You may not ever come down. Scoop, doom, doom. Boom, 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 boom. Nah, not of God.
Gotta do the Bernie.
First of all, the Bernie is old. It's from like
I
old.
Will never forget Selena. Because you don't have control over your body. I do.
Well, yeah, whatever. Whatever to that. Yeah.
Okay. Hey now, this is what dreams are made of.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Jesus. What are the most important...
Can you start over? Because I was scratching my nose.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It was my fault.
Okay.
So today... That was dumb.
It wasn't dumb. It was just...
Okay, today, we are talking about... marriage.
Yeah, we are.
What are we doing with our money? How do we make it work? How do we get it together? What are these finances doing, Chels?
That's not what we're talking about.
You're a hater.
I feel like
what happens if he can no longer work, and what happens if you need to find a spouse, and what should you be looking for? In them.
I feel like maybe you should just glance at your phone.
When Jesus is my portion, a constant friend. Is he? Yes. Wonderful.
Scoop doop.
Scoop diddy whoop. Lift yourself up your feet. Lift yourself up off your feet. Lost my voice there. You ain't like that? Okay. Welcome to the Better Than One Marriage Podcast. If you want to avoid a marriage that is headed, when I said it,
headed.
Lady, get up off your knee. Don't be proposing to that man. It is not going to work out for you.
You don't want no mystery involved?
No. Oh, I'm sorry. It doesn't matter. Yeah, you have trouble holding on to stuff. At least you
That's
don't.
That's true. I don't.
You're a great hold on to her. Your hold on to ness is astounding.
Okay.
You know, you'll pull something back like you had it on record.
Oh,
like,
yes.
No, I have this. Let me go
let
check in my file.
Let the record show. My name is Claire Huxtable.
Yes, let the record show in 2011, yes. Mm-hmm. I believe the first quarter of the year, a little hazy on the month, but I'm pretty sure it was either January or February, you said, mm-hmm. you don't like me wearing tube socks. And yep. it'd be like, I never knew.
That is such a perfect, yes,
I
that's
never
exactly.
knew you wore tube socks. I didn't know that happened.
you did, and now you said it.
You did it and you said it. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry.
You did.
Because now I said somebody who was sexy on TV, like, oh, I really like those tube socks. And now you have an attitude.
Oh, so you like her with tube socks. Oh, so you like tube. But you don't like me with tube socks.
That's a great example.
It's a very good example. And I definitely would bring
that
it up.
That is something you would
do. Oh, so tube socks are fine on her. Oh, okay.
Certainly. Say about an ambassador, and I feel like this is the truth. I'm not sure. But I feel like an ambassador cannot be arrested on foreign soil.
Oh.
Which means this. For us, if we are ambassadors for Christ, the world will not condemn us for what we're doing.
Mm.
But it's our job to condemn ourselves. Not condemn, but police.
Mm-hmm.
Right? To be convicted on our own. Because mm-hmm. in a foreign land, the world, they're not going to say anything about anything because mm-hmm. we're the ambassador.
Yeah.
We have to conduct ourselves in a certain manner.
Yeah.
They're not going to conduct ourselves for ourselves.
Right. Wow. Right.
Men are always trying to be cool, Chels. Like, we're always mm-hmm. trying to be cool because the cool guy always gets the girl.
So they think.
So they think. Mm-hmm. And in some respect, he does. But... Well, there's,
I feel like he always keeps her.
No, yeah, no, not keeping her, not necessarily. Because sometimes a cool guy is just a cool guy who's a great man.
Sure.
And mm-hmm. he just happens to be cool. Mm-hmm. I'm one of those people. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But we're trying to be cool because we think that that's what she'll like.
Right.
And in some respect, that's true. But it doesn't mean that you're so cool that she's going to put everything to the side. This is not a porno, this is not a music video, mm-hmm. this ain't no book, this is not The Notebook, this is not a rom-com.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you are not going to be cool enough to just walk up to her and just make her be like, oh
yeah,
I just have to have him. Mm-hmm. I know he can't read, and he seems like he walked
he
here
can't read.
And he was definitely musty.
Oh, God.
But I'm going to just put that to the side because he's just so cool.
Right.
Like, that's not how this works.
Most of the time, no.
It's like, you being intentional shows that, oh, I came here for a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And now, what is that purpose? It mm-hmm. shows in my intentions.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't just cool your way into like, oh, I'm just going to say the nice thing. But and what happens up, you end up trying to be too cool. And now you end up seeming like you just don't care.
Yeah. And like, you're not serious.
And you're not serious.
Mm-hmm.
Don't think supermodel, think super dad. Okay?
That is so funny.
It's funny.
But true.
But it's true.
Yeah.
Like, people did, like, they did a study with women and said they had a picture of like, two men. One is a man with, like, more chiseled features
mm-hmm.
and more, like, dashing, daring. And then they show a picture of a guy with, like, a softer features, not really a jaw cut line. And most, and more women pick that guy.
Mm.
Or matter of fact, they'll pick this guy to have, like, a short affair with.
Mm-hmm.
But they'll pick a guy who looks like a dad to, like, build their life with.
Right, for sure.
Why? Because he looks like a dad, you know? It's like, women are looking for a dad. Not a dad for them, but like a dad for their children.
Right.
Like, you're trying to be super sexy with her.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, because what we think is sexy is always what we've seen on TV.
Oh,
go ahead.
I got it. I got to say it before it goes. Because we were saying we were saying that the cool guy always gets the girl.
Right.
And I was saying, but the cool guy doesn't keep the girl.
Right.
Girls ain't really into, because like you were saying, we know.
Yeah.
We know you ain't the long game type, you know? And
yes.
It's like, we're just flattered that you think we're cute because we feel like you have your pick of the litter.
Right.
That's really all it is.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, good guys keep the girl.
They keep
cool
the girl.
Guys get the girl sometimes.
Sometimes. Yeah. A lot of times these days. Yeah. But yes, he gets the girl, but he's going to do it in a way that, because if he's dealt with women, he understands, like, nothing is more attractive to a woman when you walk up to her than a nice smile.
It's true.
Literally.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have a nice smile, it's like, oh, look at him. He looks happy.
Mm-hmm.
But we want to come up with this, with what Zoolander would call the blue steel. You up here squinting your eyes, trying to be sexy, no smile on your face. And what happens is you end up grimacing.
Yeah. Grimacing.
Got this,
or just looking like, obvious. Like, it's obvious too. Okay, not grimacing.
What's up, girl? It's just like, you tell me. Are you
I
okay?
Can't.
Are you having a stroke?
I can't. older people that talk about how younger people have no patience and no work ethic and no, like, determination, no grit, you know, because we're like this, they call it the microwave generation.
Yeah.
You know, but we're the smartphone generation.
Yes.
Literally.
Literally.
I need to go somewhere. I don't got to pull out a map and read nothing.
Nothing.
Hey, Siri, I don't even got to type it in no more.
Exactly.
Hey, Siri, where's this? Hey, Siri, what's the temperature? Hey, Siri.
Right.
Alexa, yes. Play this. Wow. Alexa, do that.
Yeah.
And it's like you expect everything in life.
Quickly.
And I'm thinking about the previous generations that stuck it out.
Yeah.
They had way more stick it out in them.
It was a part of their life structure.
Because it was their
there
life.
There was no other way.
Life was sticking it out. Life was being patient.
Certainly.
Life was working hard.
That's right.
And now everything is, you don't even have to work a 9-to-5. Oh. You can just 2 hours a day on the computer in your pajamas. Everything, I think over time, it's like the mission of humanity seems to be, how can we make things where we don't have to do anything at all?
Yeah.
You know, that's the goal. How do you make it easier, simpler, faster?
Yeah.
How? You know, because anything that is those things are attractive.
That's right.
You know, because who really wants to?
Yeah.
You know, nobody really wants to have to work in all of that, you know, but it's just so interesting because it's like marriage is not one of those things. And it's like, so a lot of it makes a lot of sense that we're in a generation now that doesn't want to do it.
Yeah. Because why would we?
Because why do I want to do anything that's hard?
Right.
Why do I want to do anything that takes a lot of work, that takes time, that isn't just perfect from the beginning?
Yeah. Start at 11. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. And this is 13, the main verse. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Mm-hmm. Literally by your belief, mm-hmm. not by anything else. Your mm-hmm. belief sealed you with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah,
this
amen.
Is why
amen.
Jesus Christ, John 3:16.
Yeah.
You know, whosoever believe on the Son, then they will not perish.
Right.
Not whosoever is baptized or does anything else. Like, no, it's belief.
Yeah.
The same, and woo. Oh, Jesus, the same way Abraham believed, and he was the one that was given the promise.
Mm.
I will bless those that bless you. I will curse those that curse you. And in you, all nations will be blessed.
Yeah, yeah.
So now that belief that he have and obtained righteousness through God because of his belief.
Yeah.
Not by anything else. He carried that covenant into this, that Jesus comes. Okay, you believe on me.
Mm-hmm.
Here you go. Here is the covenant.
Yeah.
You believe.
Wow.
That'll be your righteousness.
Amen. 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 It says that about Abraham.
Yeah, absolutely.
That it was counted to him as righteousness.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Don't.
Amen.
Listen, don't play with me. don't play with it. It was attained to him as righteousness.
Yeah.
I was just watching a sermon about that.
Wow.
I was preaching. And it's just trying to understand. It's like we have, and he was literally saying we have to get out of the if then. Like, if God, if we do this, then God will do that. That's an Old Testament thing. He literally laid out, like, cool, these are all my promises. If you do this, then I'll do this. And they never did it. And then he said, all right, we'll have to do the opposite of what I said because I said I would. Like, one of the last chapters of the blessing and curses chapter.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say Deuteronomy 28 or something like that. And Moses has a ton of blessings, but he has way more curses. Something like that. And he says, that's one of the curses. It's like, if you do right, then I'll bless you. If you do wrong, then I have to curse you.
Right.
This is it. And then God
just
comes.
Just because I'm just.
Right, because I'm just. And then Jesus Christ comes and says, okay, we're
done.
If that if there was no fault found in that covenant, then I wouldn't have had to come.
Yeah.
But the fault was found in that you were pitiful, could not keep it. So here I am. So now, here's a better covenant.
Wow.
Your belief will be your righteousness.
And the beautiful thing about that is that
1 Corinthians 12, I guess I'll start at verse 20. But it was talking about like the whole, maybe I'll start earlier. I'll start earlier. It's so hard to start anywhere in scripture. let me start here. Unity. This is unity and diversity in one body. For as the body is one, this is verse 12. So 1 Corinthians 12:12. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed, there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again, he to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the, oh man, hallelujah. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on those we bestow greater honor. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. And it hit me. Oh man!
Oh, that's worth digging into. I've never even paid attention to that part. Greater modesty.
And I was sitting there trying to think, and I thought of it as this: your penis,
uh-huh.
or your, you know, or your breasts.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the breasts are what give life,
mm-hmm.
but you'd never show them.
Yeah.
Like you would never. Well, you know, preferably.
You should.
You're not even flashing people. Mm. You would never show them, but they're what gives life.
Mm-hmm.
Just as, you know, a penis or your vagina is literally what creates birth,
mm-hmm.
but you would never see it.
Mm-hmm.
And he was saying to me, it's like, what you think is less honorable. He's like, no. I consider it to be more honorable.
Wow.
It's more honorable for you to be hallelujah. It's more honorable for you to be faithful over two people,
yeah,
than it is for you to waver over 50,000,
wow,
or 10,000, and for you to be so important to the body and important to literally growth.
Mm-hmm.
It's like these are the modest parts, the people,
wow.
the people who are in the trenches, the people who you would never see or never show, that you'll never see.
Mm-hmm.
I've bestowed a greater honor on them.
Wow,
and they are the ones that are really. They're birthing things.
Wow.
These are the people in the trenches. Love suffereth long and is what?
Kind.
And is kind. Oh my gosh. We literally can stop right there.
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Literally can mm-hmm. stop right there
mm-hmm.
and say, all right, do this first. And then if you can get past these two, and matter of fact, it's a combo.
Yeah.
Love is long-suffering and is kind.
Yeah.
It didn't say love is long-suffering. Love is kind. No. Love is long-suffering and kind. It's kind while suffering.
Yeah. Wow.
It's not like, no, I'm going to suffer, but I'm going to let you know about it
right,
every time
right.
I get a chance.
Wow.
You know, I love you, but ooh, I can't stand. No, he didn't say that.
Mm-hmm.
No. He said, no, love is long-suffering and kind.
Mm-hmm.
With loving kindness have I given to
mm-hmm.
you. This whole time you've been sinning.
Mm-hmm.
This whole time you've been backslidden and stiff-necked. And I said stiff-necked. Stiff-necked. You've been stiff-necked.
Oh, he says stiff-necked. And
that's very funny.
Stiff-necked.
Right? You've been stiff-necked, backslidden. I've tried to do everything on the earth, and I've still given you kindness, and I've had to suffer this whole time.
Yeah, mercy.
My goodness. He didn't say, like, with a nice, strong whip have I brought you back to myself.
Yeah.
No. With loving kindness.
Wow.
Have I drawn you unto myself.
Mm-hmm.
So now, here we are.
And that's how you draw your spouse.
Lord, I feel like my love just isn't enough.
Yeah.
And you're going to say, have you suffered?
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to say, I've suffered. Yes, I've just, have you done it while being kind?
Mm-hmm.
And she's going to say, well.
Mm-hmm.
Or he's going to say, come on now. You know she evil.
Right.
And you know he evil.
Like, but Lord, how am I still supposed to be kind when they lose their temper and cuss me out, or when I feel disregarded, or
Chelsea,
you know, when I
Chelsea,
yeah,
keep playing with me. And this is the bad part. This is the hard part about being a Christian, is because it really don't matter what excuse you can come up with. it all sucks in comparison to God.
It's true.
So now you want to be like, well, what happens when they disregard me? He says, I don't know. Let me ask Jesus. Hey, Jesus. Hey, Jesus, come here. He's asking these dumb questions. How did you feel when they disregarded you?
Yeah.
How did you feel about that? And he said, I don't know. I just love them.
Yep.
I didn't think they were that bad. No. Seemed like good people to me. No. But he says, I don't know. I just love them.
I brought up another scripture.
Preach it.
Hebrews chapter 12.
Oh, my. He who thought it. Don't,
yeah.
Okay.
Verses 1 and 2. I'm reading from the New King James.
Let the same mind.
Therefore, we also,
same thing,
since
sorry.
We are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, lay yes. aside every weight.
Every weight.
That's and the so, sin yes. which so easily ensnares us.
Yes.
And let us run with endurance.
Oh, yeah.
The race that is set before us.
Patience.
Looking unto Jesus.
The author
and finisher of our faith.
Yes.
Who for the joy that was set before him yes. endured the cross.
He did.
Despising the shame.
Yes.
Endured.
Yes.
While despising the shame.
Disregarded.
That's the same thing yes. as what we were just reading in 1 Corinthians 13.
Yes.
Being patient, being kind.
Yes.
While being patient. Yes. While enduring.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh,
despising
yeah.
the shame. Not saying that you yes. don't hate the going through this.
Right.
Not saying it doesn't hurt or it's not hard or you're not mad or you're yes. not annoyed or offended or
oh, yeah.
whatever. But you're enduring.
Wow. And
because yes. there's joy set before you. What? Who was his joy? Yeah. Us.
Yes. We were his joy.
Because yeah. he just wanted to win us. He just wanted right. us to be aware, this is how much I love you.
Mm.
And when you come to the realization of that, you're going to feel so loved.
Yeah. That somebody else's marriage may be something that you can mirror, but it's still their marriage.
Yeah.
And your mother is not in this marriage. Your father is not in this marriage. Sister, brother, uncle, cousin, niece, aunt, pastor, bishop, apostle,
mm-hmm.
pope, mm-hmm. cardinal. The only person welcome in this relationship other than me and you is the Lord.
Wow.
God Almighty.
Mm-hmm.
Because he is above this and he is the one that has it in place in the first
place.
And that is not to say that you avoid sound counsel.
Right. And that you don't seek it when necessary.
Right. But it is to say they are not married to anybody in this relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, they don't get to say anything.
Right.
They don't get to say, y'all need to be doing this. It's fine for them to say it, but they don't have say.
Right, right. They can't decide.
You cannot decide. This is your counsel. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Appreciate that.
I'll take it into consideration.
Y'all don't need to be living in no bi-level. Y'all need to be living in a townhouse. Yeah, y'all need to go ahead and take care of that. Be mm-hmm. like, actually, mm-hmm. sir, your name is not on anybody's wedding license, marriage license.
Mm-hmm.
You need to go get you a townhouse.
Right.
Because I don't know what you're talking about right now. Because listen, let me give you a secret. Getting married is a hassle.
Yeah, it is.
The actual wedding ceremony and getting people together, and specifically sometimes African-American black people.
Oh, yes.
Getting these people together to say, hey, I want you to be in the wedding. Hey, I want you to come. And you got people from everywhere, and you got to feed these people and
yep.
pay for it,
yep.
and you hope you're going to get money back. You ain't. You're going to get something back. It ain't going to be nothing to cover.
It ain't going to be how much you got put out.
It's going to be some nice spend of money on your honeymoon if you have one,
mm-hmm.
okay, or maybe a couple nice couches at the house. That's all you're going to get,
okay?
And all that hassle and people's friendships that come into it, listen, it ain't always worth it.
Mm-mm.
But having a man is like, listen, if he don't know, as a matter of fact, this is the hard part. And I talk, go ahead, get me, baby. Get me. I'm linty. But the hard part, I was like, yo, the hard part of people dealing with the truth is that men know if they want to marry you or not.
Mm-hmm.
And I won't discount the fact that sometimes they do, but they don't feel like they're worthy of you.
Or ready.
Or ready.
To take care of you. Yeah.
Right? That happens.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the time, they can get past that. Yeah, well, it's because, and this is where it says, many are the plans in a man's heart, but the Lord's purpose will stand, or his counsel will stand. We don't know the way.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens when you actually become a follower of Christ is like, oh, I am the way, and here is the way for your life. Doesn't tell you the way.
Right.
Puts you on it, doesn't tell you where it's going.
Right.
Can't see where it's going. You can see glimpses.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I see we're heading towards that mountain, but I don't know where this pathway is going. I can't see this jungle. The mountain is, whatever, the high points of life, the high achievements, the things that you work towards. But the path to getting to it is super vague. It's direct, but you don't know what's coming.
Right.
You don't know what may sideline you. You don't know what's coming around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
But now he says, because you've yielded your life to me, I know what's coming around the corner.
Yeah.
So now, this is why I have you on this path. It doesn't make sense to you because you don't know what's around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
What's around the corner could be something big, could be something small. But based off of your reaction to it, I've put you on a path that makes sense to you.
Right.
He says the same thing to the children of Israel, literally coming out.
Yep.
And he says, okay, I'm going to lead them the way, this way. Not, I just read it. Where's my Bible? I don't want to mess it up. Had to crack the Bible out. And actually, Exodus 13, we're talking about the path in a way. It literally has the title, Wilderness Way. Then it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go that God did not lead them by way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest perhaps the people change their minds when they see war mm-hmm. and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, right? And so on and so forth. And just speaking back to what we're saying about God putting you in wildernesses on purpose.
Yeah.
Because there's something ahead that without the wilderness experience, you probably can't handle.
Mm-hmm.
Or you'll probably go back to something that he doesn't want you to do.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, and fortunately, you've yielded your life to Christ.
Yeah.
So now he takes you by the hand and he doesn't let go.
Mm-hmm.
What a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately, he doesn't let go.
Yeah, amen.
So now when you find yourself, you lead me by the still waters. How do you lead? By hand.
Mm-hmm.
Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me.
Yeah.
He's here. Right. So he's around and he's leading you in places. So that's important concerning your core values, because you don't know the way. He does know the way. And now what you may think is a core value that you need may not be what you actually need.
Right.
You may not need a high achiever. You
right.
may not need somebody who wants to travel. You may need somebody to go to work because you'll realize, oh, I can't stand being around you all day.
Right.
Here's one. A lot of times two people can't be entrepreneurs.
Yeah. Mm.
That's something people don't want to accept. It's just like, entrepreneur life. We entrepreneur, living that almost homeless life most
right,
of the time.
Right, right.
Like, entrepreneurs don't always just work it out like, yeah, we're right where we need to be. It's like there's years of struggling to try to get things where you need them to be.
Yep.
And now who's paying these bills at this time?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so now that's something to consider is does your core value actually line up to what God's purpose is for your life?
Right.
Here you can come and say, here's a light to your dark place.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus Amen. Christ, who is the light, has called us to be a light, right?
Mm-hmm.
If we walk in the light as he is the light, we have communion with him.
Mm-hmm.
Now you come and be that hope and faith and light that Christ was.
Mm-hmm.
And now the things that are bad, it's like literally everything that is bad.
Mm-hmm.
The bullying, the molestations, the sexual abuses, the abandonments, the disappointments, the robberies, the whatever, the everythings. It's like all of that stuff shapes you into something that sometimes we don't even like.
Yeah.
And we look back and say, man, I wish, you know, certain things hadn't happened. And then God is on the other end saying the same thing. But also saying this, just as Christ would say when he was in the garden, saying, Lord, if there was any other way.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
If it be possible, let this cup pass from me.
Mm-hmm.
But not my will. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will. It's such an interesting prayer because it's the reason he came.
Mm-hmm.
But he still like took time to pray it.
Yeah, because he was feeling it, because he was 100% man at the same time, feeling that, Lord, I don't want to go through this though.
Uh-huh. And that's the humanity side.
Yeah.
Is revealing. It's like, look, this is not something that is going to be pleasant for me. I know that.
Mm-hmm.
And when you attribute that to our lives and look and say, well, there are things that wow, I really don't want to go through this, but wow, if it's in God's will, it's like good or bad.
You know what just dawned on me though?
Yeah.
Man, like I got to try not to tear up. Cause that was exactly what we're talking about with just like that accepting not having control. Like Jesus, God in the flesh, gave up his control.
Yeah.
Like that's just like, that just hit me different just now. Because I'm like, you know, the human side of him that's just like, you know, well, God, if at a father, because I am God, but like father, if at all possible, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, because he's just like, you know, this is out of my, wow, that's something that is out of his control. The fact that that's the only way.
Yeah.
That's complex, but not really, but kind of, you know, just.
Yeah. It is the only way. That, because when you really think back on how far back God will go to give you someone that you need or want, it's overwhelming when you actually think about it. To make you to be raised in a household with music,
mm-hmm.
to have
you know, it starts early.
It's like the music timeline that I took from the time I was 8 years old until the time I was 20 when I met you was shaped by God. And with anything changing in the middle, because there was a time period where it was like, oh well, I played the piano great at this place and now this place does not exist anymore.
And how many times is that freaking
Many times does that happen, right, in our lives, of course. But just in life, like, it's easy for somebody to be like, hey, well, you know, I'm going to be a musician. I'm going to meet somebody in my life as a musician, but I'm 8. Mm-hmm. Okay, so now I'm leaving a place where I learned how to become a musician, and that doesn't exist anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, guess I'm not a musician anymore
because
I'm going to go play soccer or play basketball.
And just be a kid.
And so now our connection that's down here on the end of the line, it never happens.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
You know, aside from God, like, fixing it somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
And in certain respects, he did.
Yeah.
But for, right, you know, just musically and thinking all the things that surround it. And for me to, and that's why I've always, you know, given credit to Tunis, my good friend, that when he came to the church,
mm-hmm.
he was, like, young and
cool.
I don't want to say cool.
I mean,
hip.
That's what it is.
He was hip. Yeah, it's funny. I don't even remember what year it was, early 2000s. But he was cooler than anybody else in there.
Mm-hmm.
And he's playing stuff that's different. I've never heard. I'm like, oh, you know, maybe you could show me that. And,
mm-hmm.
and he would show me some stuff, and I was learning. I was like, oh, man, like, this is cool. And it reintroduces.
Mm-hmm.
And it rebuilds.
Were you still playing drums?
I wasn't even playing drums at the time.
Really?
No, wow. I was just a kid.
When did you start playing drums?
12-ish, maybe.
Oh, wow.
I don't know. One day I sat down at the drums. This is very funny. I sat down in sixth grade. They had a drum set up there, and they was asking people to go up there and play. Like, let's see if you can do this.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I probably can do that. And I go up there, and I did. It was something simple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that little first joint. I can do that, too.
And they was like, oh, yeah, he did that. I don't think they were excited. But I do that. And that was the only time I ever played drums in my life.
Wow.
And years later, when Tunis and whatever little choir we had, we were going away to a church in Delaware that had a drum set. And I was just like, I mean, I probably could play the drums.
Mm-hmm.
Went over there. I just played the drums.
Yeah.
Horrible. I'm sure it was terrible. But it was good enough to play drums and be like, oh, I guess I could play the drums. I know I probably was dragging. I had to be dragging everything,
especially
Chelsea.
Little kids. I feel like you don't even have the strength to keep up. Like, you kind of naturally are just like, all right, fatigue.
Yes, up there.
And my arms are short. And
but that's nobody but God.
Mm-hmm.
Because now from there, like, there was no drums at Hopewell.
Mm, really?
Literally, there was no drums there.
You know, you told me that before, but I forgot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Back when the church was just a rectangle.
Right.
And there was the choir box. Yeah. It was two choir boxes. One where nobody actually sat.
That's still there, right?
Still there.
Yeah.
Pulpit in the middle, and on the right was where the choir would be. It was rarely that many people in there. And the piano that's on the left side was on the right side. It's upright, mm-hmm. just play it and sing. People see you, sing.
Mm-hmm.
On the other side, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Just some plants and the table, something.
Oh, wow.
Know. And they said, well, if he can play the drums, I guess we should get a drum set.
Wow.
I said, well, I guess I'm playing drums. I was just happy not to have to sing in the choir no more. Let me go sit down somewhere. Jeez. Sick of being up here. Though I'm a child and I may not know very much.
Because that has to be what you're singing.
I know the word of God is true. Yes. Yeah. Read the Bible.
Best part.
Oh, Lord. Horrible times.
You must serve my Jesus.
From the inside out.
From the inside out.
Oh, yeah. Inside. People up there. That's back in time. Oh, the best of times, the worst of times. Oh my gosh, horrible experiences. But yeah, just glad. And I was playing drums. And somewhere along the line, I went back to playing keys and learning and growing.
Wow.
And just, you know, God putting people in place and putting the steps in order.
That's
the final step. Like, is she the one? Yeah, if she fits the purpose, and let's say, and I would say, if I fit her purpose as well,
like, you don't go to sleep when you're unsure.
This is why my father is such a man of faith. I literally shared this with them.
Okay,
I literally shared this with them a couple of weeks ago when we went to South Carolina, and we had a two vehicle it was a three vehicle caravan. I forgot about Sharona, so. That's even funnier to me. Because what was they looking at to see? So here's the scenario. It's a two car. In my mind, it's two car, but it's three cars. I got a car behind me and a car and a van in front, a big white van at that in front that's leading the way to South Carolina from New Jersey. And we're leaving in the middle of the night because I have a small child who doesn't like to sleep. So I figured, hey, doesn't like to be in her car seat for long periods, right? So now we say, all right, well, let's leave early. So that way she'll be so tired she can't fight with the car seat. We'll just leave in the middle of the night, get down there, and we're good. People agree. Praise God. However, nobody really had the ability, at least I didn't, to actually go to sleep and be like, oh, I'm refreshed now for the evening. We'll just go and I'll be fine. No, not at all. So we go and I'm still dog tired. I tried to go to bed early. I don't think it worked out. I probably got a few hours and just like, all right, well, let's just do it. And we get that. Did you drive first?
No, I feel like Michelle. Well, you weren't with me.
I was on the way down, right?
Oh.
On the way down, we were in
you
the same car.
When we got lost, or when you
I don't know what happened. The Lord did it. what happened was at some point I think you drove first and I switched with you. I was the first person to switch with you. Or either I drove first and we switched pretty early because I was too tired, or you drove first. And eventually you said to me, all right, I'm fate. And
okay.
We needed to switch. But what happened, and then shout out to Linda, my mother. Linda did like she did like a solid hour and was like, I just she did a solid hour of driving, and it wasn't even, I think it was normal time at that point. She just, I just can't do it. Horrible. But there's a certain point in the middle of the night where we are following a white van. I find myself waking up talking about, I don't know where the van went.
Waking up.
I have no idea. And
that highway hypnosis is real when
you're tired. When I say I have no idea what happened to them, I mean, I don't know how long I was asleep, and I don't know where we were. Mm-hmm. I know we was on 95. We was behind them, and at some point, we was not behind them. Could not tell you when this happened or what happened during that period. Don't know what time it was. I have no idea. And I literally woke up like, oh, where are they at? I have no idea. I called them. He's like, yeah, we on something. I'm like,
Meanwhile, they didn't even notice.
They ain't even notice either.
Terrible.
And meanwhile, Sharona behind me, I guess she ain't noticed neither. That's
terrible.
Horrible. But this is all to say, literally, my father is in the back seat, gone. Completely gone.
The whole ride.
He
slept the whole way down.
Did not wake up for anything. completely fine. Like, nah, it doesn't matter. We'll get down there. The Lord has us. Mm-hmm. And here he is, Jesus of the Nissan Rogue. And he's completely asleep, and he's perfectly fine. It's just the fact that.
He didn't even know that happened, right?
I think he did later.
Oh, okay.
But not at the time. He didn't know, because he was with the Lord.
So Ephesians 5:33 says, "Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." In other translations, it says respect her husband. So he's saying she does not respect him, as Ephesians 5:33. And I feel like that goes exactly to your point, because before that.
Preach it.
Nevertheless.
Read.
Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. She will reverence you if you love her.
Bring it back. Well, what did 32 say?
This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church, and we love him because he first loved us.
Amen. Leave and cleave, right? Yes. The mystery of the church. And
that
the
is what it says right before that. 31 says, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother,
right,
and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." But I have to point that out, though. I feel like that was a good correlation that the you know, the Lord allowed me to have just now.
Yeah.
That he's saying to the husband, love your wife, and in return, she will reverence you. And that is our relationship with him. And this also correlates to Christ and the church. We love him because he first loved us.
Yeah. See, yeah.
And we reverence him because of.
Wow.
Yeah.
But say it right, because it said love him. What does it say? Nevertheless.
Let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself.
Even as himself.
Yeah.
See, let's qualify all these things, right? Mm-hmm. He didn't say just love her the way you want to love her.
Right.
He didn't say that. He did not say, hey, you kind of just, you know, give her what you feel like she needs, mm-hmm, or give her enough of what you think she needs.
Right.
And then she'll respect you. No, he said, love her the way you love your own life.
Yeah.
Why? Because I speak of a mystery, talking about Christ in the church. Mm-hmm. Where shall a man and wife, shall a man leave and cleave to his, whatever. What is, shall a man leave father and mother and cleave to his wife?
And they two shall become one flesh.
And them two shall become one flesh. The reverence for God is the way that she's supposed to reverence you in a figurative way.
Yeah.
Right? But the love that you show her is supposed to reflect the love that he shows you.
Amen.
In a figurative way.
Mm-hmm.
Or actually, it's more literal.
Literally, yeah.
More literal than anything. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't love the way God loves, but it's supposed to look like it.
Right. You're supposed to be trying.
It's supposed
striving.
To be, it's supposed to be an ashy reflection.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that kind of looks like God in that mirror. But I'm sure it's kind of, yeah, it's kind of foggy. But it's supposed to be one of those.
Mm-hmm.
And
amen.
When I think of the fact that I'm a musician at heart.
Mm-hmm.
And that I have a musician's mind.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know that unless, you know, you get an opportunity to be a musician.
Right.
But God knows that.
Right.
So now, you know, me being in a Christian school and just deciding, like, somebody, literally puts it in somebody else's heart to say, hey, we should start offering these kids piano lessons.
Right.
And even that is like, anybody can be like, eh, never mind. Let's not do that.
Right.
And just like that.
Yep.
My life can be completely different. That's not to say he couldn't have raised somebody else up. Right.
Yeah.
But he raised them up and they said yes.
Mm-hmm.
And these are people who love the Lord. And they say yes. And here I am. I go in there. I feel like like they offered to everybody, hey, would you like piano lessons? We'll give them to you. And me being a fool, because I was a child. You know, you go in there and I'm like, yeah, I don't want to be the only one that don't take. That is so dumb.
I know.
Dumbest. Like, why would they take piano lessons, boy? And I'm thinking in my child mind at 7 or 8 and like, oh, man, I don't want to be the only one to not take them. So let me go ahead and take them, because they're going to take these lessons.
Mm-hmm.
Go in there. And eventually I found out, y'all ain't take no lessons? Like, no. Why would we?
Okay.
Why would we be taking piano lessons? I'm like, oh, man, well, I had took them. So, you know, I was like, oh, okay. But, you know, my parents and dad said, oh, you're going to take them.
Mm-hmm.
You said you're going to take them, so you're going to at least
go ahead.
I was like, well, I'm in here. Then I learned. And, you know, just so many things that even came from that, Chelsea. And this is a long walk down memory lane, but being able to be a musician and then going to, you know, middle school, high school and being in the band. We just happened to live in Clayton where the middle school and high school is together. So now I'm in the band as a eighth grader going to band competitions and being in places with high schoolers and better and higher competition, you know, honing skills and meeting my cousin who I love, Mike Corsi, who taught me how to produce.
Oh, wow.
And he taught me how to make.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Did he teach me? I think, well, at the very least, I'm so old. I'm trying to remember if I had started and then he showed me stuff or if I feel like the only way I would have had that stuff is if he showed me. So I attribute that to him. He taught me like, hey, this is called Fruity Loops because he knew I was a musician. He's like, oh, well, you can make beats. And I'm like, oh, yeah, whatever. I'm sure I can make a beat. Never made one, but I'm sure I can. And I could. I was great because I was a musician. You know, so, and he showed me that. And lo and behold, you know, I become older and run into Dave Adams. And Dave Adams is like, oh, man, you're nice, man. You know, I got this studio out the blue. Hey, man, I'm working at the studio. I need somebody to come and do it. I was like, oh, well, you know, I've produced before. Yeah, so that'll be cool, I guess. I'll come over there. And one beautiful autumn evening, this beautiful, lovely young lady comes in, you know, perfection.
Okay.
And you know, just a nice young lady, just great. I didn't know she was perfection at the time, but I know now. And she, you know, we become entranced with each other, you know. But all of that from somebody saying, hey, maybe we should give these kids piano lessons.
Wow.
In 1998,
97. Wow. You know, Ron, now that you're making me think.
Yes. And that's just one aspect of life.
Oh, my God. Right. There's so many different tracks. Man, God is amazing. You got me thinking now, because long story short, my dad would have never let me do secular music.
Right.
And he passed away when I was about to turn 13. And then that was why I went to live with my mom in Camden. And you don't go to creative arts if you don't live in Camden.
That's right.
I would have never been at Creative Arts.
Hallelujah. Wow.
But yeah, he passes away when I'm 12. I go to eighth grade at a church school. And then the kids there are familiar with Camden. And they're like, why don't you audition for Creative Arts? I'm like, what's Creative Arts?
Look at God.
What's Creative Arts? And they're like, you never heard of it? And they're like, well, if you sing, like, you should go there and audition. And literally found out what the school was like a week before I had to audition. I almost missed it. And then I get there. So I thought, get there, get in the school. And then this Dave Adams that met Ron at a music store playing on keyboards. He reaches out to a guy that I went to school with at Creative Arts. And it's like, you know, I'm looking for singers or whatever. And this guy who was not in my grade, we were never friends. I actually didn't care for him too much. You know, but God bless him. He seems cool now. but he thinks of me. Of all the, now that I've thought about before.
Oh, yes, right.
That, and you know, we've talked about this at length.
Yes.
The fact that he pulled my name.
That's right. Out of a school.
A school full of musicians and singers and all this, and there's, and just because people weren't singing majors doesn't mean they didn't sing. There are kids who did not major in singing at Creative Arts that are singing now professionally. Like, this is a school full of artists.
That's right.
And he's just like, you know who I remember? There's this girl Chelsea. Of all people, like, I never got over that. Like, what made him say me? But he tells the guy Dave, oh yeah, Chelsea, and I think she still lives in that area, blah blah blah. And not to mention, the dude was going to college at Berkeley.
Yes.
And he's just like, yeah, Chelsea. What? So that, like, that was so crazy to me. And then Dave Adams messages me and is like, hey, you know, I'm just looking for singers. Like, you can record for free. What? I can record for free?
F-R-E-E free?
For free?
Who's free? Free from 106 in Park, she here? What you need me to do? She got a little demo?
No, and then here we are. Then I meet Ron.
That's right. It's your subconscious mind. It's all that, your will, your emotions, your you know all that. That's your soul. And then you have the your spirit, and really the spirit of God once you're saved, and then you have your flesh, mm-hmm. and that your flesh does not need anything from you.
No, it does not.
It does not need it. I was like,
strong
no,
all by itself.
Not. I'm sitting there saying to the guys, like, no, you want to watch porn? Trust me, your flesh is ready. You don't have to warn it. You don't have to warm it up. Nope, I'm ready. Mm-hmm. At any given moment, your flesh is sitting there saying, hey, let's cuss these people out. Yep, yep. Let's do it. Let's slap that. Yep, you ain't even got to say less. You could have just said slap. Let's mm-hmm. do it. Let's steal. Yep, let's go. Mm-hmm. Whatever it is. But your spirit is over here, and your spirit can only say what you put in it. Mm-hmm. And now your spirit is over here. It's depleted. You have to actually feed it.
Yeah.
And if you don't, it don't have nothing for you.
Yep.
So now you find yourself in an encounter where it's like, here's your soul in the middle, and your spirit, your flesh is over here like, hey. As a matter of fact, here it is. Your soul says, here, something comes to your soul. It says, hey, I want to cheat on my woman. Mm-hmm. And your flesh says, great. That sounds like a great plan. Sounds good to me. Let's mm-hmm. do it. And then your spirit is only going to say what you have for it.
Yeah, that's
where it's
true.
Like your spirit is like, eh. Mm-hmm. That's all he had. He didn't have, you shall not fornicate, you shall not be cheating
right,
on your
right,
wife,
right,
you
right.
love your wife, you love God, and don't mm-hmm. sin against, none of that. Didn't have none of that.
Wow. Because
you didn't put none of it in there.
Wow.
And now your spirit just says, eh, well.
You know why? Because we're born in sin and
yes.
shaping in iniquity. It's almost like sin is a grown man
right.
when you're born.
Right.
And your spirit, you reborn,
see,
is
but,
a baby.
Oh, my gosh. But this is where it's because we don't actually take into account that. And this is the actual point I'm making,
mm-hmm.
is that in your marriage and in your life, you are feeding whether you want to or not.
True.
And here's the truth. Your flesh is feeding too.
Yeah.
That's why it's so strong.
Yeah.
We don't take into account like, oh, I've been feeding my flesh. Until you get saved,
yeah.
you've been feeding your flesh however many years that is.
That's so
10,
true.
30, don't matter. Your flesh is strong.
Yeah.
It's ready to go.
Wow.
And you are spiritually dead.
And also the world.
Yeah.
Like your surroundings, the days and age
that's
we
exactly.
live in, it's everywhere.
That's,
like,
and that's
you don't
what
even
I'm
have
saying.
To feed yourself.
Like, that's what I'm actually
yeah.
saying.
Wow.
Chelsea, is that your flesh is being fed by everything.
Unless you decide to cut that
right.
off. Absolutely.
And if you're not saved, why would you?
Right.
I don't have no reason why.
Right.
I can watch whatever I want to watch. What do I care?
Especially because sin
right?
is pleasurable. Why
right.
would I not do that?
And now you've been doing that for all that time, and you're spiritually dead. Your spirit is not, it's not even revived. So
it's not
now,
even born.
It's nothing. None of that. Like, you get saved, and God says, "All right, cool. I'll revive you. You are spiritually awoken, and you have my spirit as a helper."
Right.
Here you go. Mm-hmm. Now you have to start feeding your spirit.
Yeah.
And you know, guys and everybody, we get into trouble when we're not feeding our spirit, but we're still trying to contend with the flesh.
Yeah.
And tying this to the marriage, I feel like it's the same thing. Is that if you're not being intentional, you're still being intentional. Like, you're still feeding your marriage what you're accepting.
Mm.
And if it's not building up, it doesn't matter to you.
Yeah.
It's coming in. It doesn't matter
yeah.
to your soul and your spirit. Like, nope. Whatever you come in is what's going to, you're going to reap the benefits of it regardless.
Yeah. Well, wow.
It's like spiritually, God and his will are more important to you than being married or a wedding. Uh-oh.
Mercy.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
So, and now it's like, uh-oh, people get into weddings or even marriages or relationships and not realizing this is a relate-ship.
Mm-hmm.
We are relating to each other. Mm-hmm. Amen. And how you relate to God will dictate how you relate to all others.
That's true.
So now you want to be married and have a wedding, but once again, without a spiritual connection and relationship with God, what is the point of anything?
You know, and then you hit the hot spots.
The
you
hot
know,
spots.
You hit the hot spots. It's the breath, it's the pits, it's
is
the
coming.
Genitals.
Breath is taking me out. So just rolling up. Hey, girl. Hey. Hey, girl. I just wanted to let you know that Wendy's got that four. And I just had one.
And now I'm ready to eat you. Sorry, we're funny. Okay.
Oh, man. He ate a whole four for four. Like, me, I'm ready. It's like, sir, you just had a four for four. Nothing in that was refreshing. nothing, sir.
Not at all.
Got burger face, and yeah. Now you want to start kissing. It's like, no,
and don't take it for granted that, like, oh, it's probably all right. Because I feel like sometimes people might kind of do their whole... Because I've heard some people share some stories with me about stuff that has unfolded.
You don't have to take it. And this is real life for us, because Ron's love languages, I mean, last you checked, were
acts of service.
Acts of service and gift and giving.
Sex. No.
Have mercy. I mean, that's the man's love language, period. So yes, and sex. But you know, it's like those are your things, is giving. You're very good at the thing is the way we receive love, we're very good at doing.
Okay.
Typically. I'm great at having quality time with you.
Undefeated. Undefeated. I'm great
at
that. Timer.
I'm great at giving you words of affirmation.
I can get you to not be mad at me. Like, it's easy. She'd be mad. I'm so mad, Ron. You're not being holy. You're not being the man of God that I thought I married. I'm praying to the Lord right now. Lord, you need to fix him because he's not being the man of God that he's supposed to be.
I'm crying.
Hallelujah, Father.
Okay.
Hallelujah, Father. Please, Lord. And then that's how she's mad. And I just say, hey, do you want to watch a movie?
That's how I'm mad.
That's how she's mad. She's very holy mad. And I say, hey, do you want to watch a movie? You know, I bought a little popcorn. I got some little jalapeno cheddar, seasoning that I bought. And we turned that whole evening. You know, God, you're good. Mm-hmm. You know, I knew you picked right when you picked him. Oh, he's so good to me. And now we're on the couch eating popcorn. Mm-hmm. Jalapeno cheddar. But this is the good part about Chelsea, is she's still going to say something like, you know, when you were over there not being a man of God and being unholy and defiled, it really bothered me, you know.
Yeah,
it wasn't true. It was your flesh. It wasn't you. It was your flesh.
My gosh.
But you would say that and it would be good because I don't get away scot-free. Mm-hmm.
If I see you flirting with everybody, you flirting with me is not special.
That's true.
And then I'm always going to have it in the back of my head, like, okay, like, are you going to be cool to settle down? Because you seem like you really like attention. And it's like, if you need that, then you're not going to be cool with just me. And so that's not a quality that I like.
I feel like women have a better sense of men being creepy than men think they do.
Probably.
like you can keep going. It depends, because I feel like if she finds him attractive and not creepy, she'll be like, oh, nice, I get to see him again.
Well, as long as you're not being creepy.
Right. Being see, this is where people mess up on how to approach a woman.
Right.
You're being creepy to her.
Yeah.
And you think you're being cool.
Yeah, because day one should not be, hey, girl.
Hey, girl.
Not day one.
Day none should be, hey, girl. Hey, girl. Let me get my asthma. Let me get my inhaler first. I was just trying to let you know. I like that bath water.
Exactly.
That bath water is good, girl.
Right. Like, not day one. I'm day talking one. You've exchanged a few casual, hey, yes. How's your day going, Kristen?
Yes.
Oh, good. You know, cool.
And she gave you something.
Yeah.
Because a woman, hopefully a woman who understands, because there's a difference between being friendly and moving past the friendliness to be like, okay, you know, hey, how you doing? My day's good. How's your day? Oh, that's a nice shirt you have on.
Right, right.
Or something that gives you enough to grab on and say, maybe.
Right.
Yes.
Yes.
That's why I'm sort of just like, hey, it'll be okay. Mm-hmm. You know why? It's because I'm here.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
Because when I think back to my father, and he was never like, super, let's play on the floor, or like we would play basketball, like, but other than that, like, he wouldn't play no board games. Nah, well, I don't play board. The river's different. Like, he don't play board games. Like, if you can get him to play a board game,
I've never seen him play nothing.
No, not a thing.
Because we be having family games.
Yes, he's never been at the table.
We'll do it.
Not one time.
He'll play some ping pong.
If it's a physical sport, he'll play it.
Yeah.
Anything other than I'll play it. But I think back tomorrow and how much I literally love my father.
Yeah.
And I don't ever remember him being. He was never he was just there.
That's amazing. That's so encouraging to me literally. Too. Oh my goodness. Say somebody is disabled in some way to like physically work or to have sex or to do housework of any sort or to drive or to, you know, or someone has a terminal illness or not even a terminal illness but just like a lifelong
chronic illness
or disease or whatever, those are all things that you have to really, and we can in the high of things be like, oh, I can do anything because I just love you.
Wow.
But it's like, but they are going to get on your nerves one day or 10 or 10,000. And and then you're not going to feel as fuzzy about, but I can do it because I love you so much.
Negative.
You know, it's like once that infatuation fades, it gets harder.
Yeah.
It gets harder to have to do what your spouse requires of you.
Yeah.
I don't even call it flirting anymore because we're married, but
I guess, right.
I walk by and squeeze your butt or you hit my butt or you say, hey, you're looking good in that, whatever.
Yeah, that's sexual harassment.
Whatever. Or I just be like, you're really cute, you know?
A little sexual heresy every morning. Like, yeah, let's
well, it's not when you're married.
But that's why I can't call it flirting because, like, ain't nobody flirting like that.
Okay.
Let me come up and grab
okay, that's
booty.
Funny. Grab okay, well, booty. Okay, point taken.
And they're singing, you get lonely. Oh. And I cry. Lenny was singing that song.
Have mercy.
Every time mercy. I listen to it, I'd be right there with him. I cry.
Hilarious.
Maybe you don't know where I go. And then I and then I met you, darling. I said, hey.
Okay.
And you smiled at me. Oh, what a pretty smile. Yes, it was. Then you reached out your hand. And you helped me. You helped me. You helped me.
Help me.
And they back there.
Yes.
Then he hits the highest notes. Oh, I hate when people hit them high notes because I can't hit that high, and I don't
it's
like
it. It's the
it.
End for me when they do that.
Yes.
Dominating. I said, y'all better back him
dominating.
Up.
Dominating.
Y'all better.
Yes. Yeah.
Which, in order for you to know the type of woman you'd be interested in, you need to know the type of woman you're interested in.
Or looking for, yes.
Or looking for. So I feel like the first step is, like, be somebody that actually knows what you're looking for, because if you don't, I could be all of those things,
could
but
be.
If you haven't even thought it over,
yeah.
You might not even really appreciate that you've hit the jackpot.
It's true.
You know, because it's just like, oh, well, she seems cool.
Right.
Versus, man, these are the things I was looking for in a woman. There's a different level of appreciation there.
Right.
You know, with a stumbled upon versus a premeditated situation.
Right. That means, yeah.
Yeah. Because a lot of times women, we don't want our time wasted.
Sure.
You know, so if you just think I'm cute, but like we, you know, but I'm not the type of person that, you know, we don't even know, we haven't even laughed at each other's jokes once or twice or anything.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm just cute to you. And now it's like, you know, I'm going in, like, women in general tend to be more thoughtful about things.
Yeah.
You know, so like we'll really think it through and y'all will just be like, oh, you're cute.
Yeah, I just thought you was cute.
That's it. And sometimes that's great and works out and sometimes it doesn't. But,
right.
You know, I just like people that actually premeditated what kind of woman they actually want to be with.
Yeah.
And then recognize that in me and say, oh, wow, she's a good woman.
Wow. Yeah, that's hard.
But I never was like straight up like defiant.
Well, that's not really in your character.
Or combative. But it could be, though.
Could be.
Like, if I'm totally discontent with the decision that you're making, I could.
Could.
I could just be like, no, I'm not doing that. You can't make me. Mm-hmm. Like, stop making me do stuff I don't want to do.
Oh, yeah.
And let's be real. I feel like that sometimes. I feel like being like, no, I don't want to do that. And stop making me do a bunch of stuff I don't want to do. Sure. Like, I it gets like that, you know. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's something that a husband can never relate to. Because you're the husband. You're never going to know what it's like for, like, your spouse to come up to you and be like, hey, this is what we're doing. I know that's not what you want to do, but this is what we're doing because this is what I feel the Lord would have us do. Mm. You know? And then you just got to be like, all right.
Well, you're able to. And that is so hard to say, get up every day and say, you know what? I'm going to meet the needs of my wife today. If she meets mine or not.
Wow.
I ain't gonna say it's perfect, but it's a perfect reflection of Christ in marriage.
Yeah.
And that it's not self-seeking. Love does not seek its own.
Yeah.
It's seeking the welfare or the well-being of you.
Yeah.
And to say inside yourself and mentally, like mental capacity, and say, I am mentally prepared to not seek my own, is one of the biggest signs of actually being ready for marriage.
What you hear is you have a conditional commitment rather than a lifelong covenant.
Right.
You know, when you're in lifelong covenant, which covenant can only be with God, you know, when you're in lifelong covenant, Now that means it does not matter. Mm-hmm. There are no conditions.
Wow.
You know, now you might switch up on me a year from now or 2 years from now, and I'm not going to just leave you.
Yeah.
You know, that's the problem, because now you have all these people that waste 5 years, mm-hmm. 10 years, 3 years even, you know, 2 years, wasting all this time with these people yeah. that they were never going to enter lifelong covenant with. Mm-hmm. And then you wonder how you look up and you're 40, 50 years old and never got married to nobody.
Right.
It's because you have to just, you first of all, it's not about how you feel.
Go into that. Yeah.
It's not about how you feel. It's like, because we can just be like, oh, well, you know, it just didn't feel right.
Is it in a way that, like, literally, it's the only thing, like, he only can do it that way.
Yeah.
He's the only person that can make something that you've been trying to do that was so difficult become completely easy without you doing anything.
Effortless.
Like, literally, effortlessly.
Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord.
It's like, literally, stand still and be quiet and know that I am God.
Mm-hmm.
Shut up and just be quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Hush.
Right.
Stop with all your, but Lord, I don't know. But I don't know what the house. Hey, shut up. Oh my gosh. It's like, what are you? It's like, have you forgotten who I am? Have you forgotten what I've told you? If you do this, matter of fact, if you would bring your tithe mm-hmm. faithfully,
mm-hmm.
God starts working on your money.
Oh yeah.
Cause, and here's the key. And it's not, and our life experience is not just like doing it for a little while.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
People be lying sometimes.
Yeah.
And you got to just let that be what it is. Let's mm-hmm. not read too far in.
Yeah.
That's where we should have brung Maya Angelou up and said, if people are a liar, they are a liar. If they be out here lying,
okay,
then they be out here lying.
Right.
It's not just you, right? they be out here lying.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to, I wouldn't even say, if once you caught somebody in a lie,
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't even be sitting here trying to reconcile it.
Right, like, right.
Let's figure this out. Nope, nah, it's okay.
No, why did you lie?
Nah, it's
like, all right. Is there any good reason why someone lied?
Yeah, there's good reasons why people lie, but that most of the time, that ain't this.
Yeah.
Be able to put people in their proper place to say, this is a friend. Mm-hmm. This is a close friend.
Mm-hmm.
This is a comrade.
Mm-hmm.
This is a person who can give me counsel.
Mm-hmm.
This is somebody who can pray for me.
Mm-hmm.
These are all boundaries, and I put them in their place. I don't say to my comrade, hey, pray for me.
Mm-hmm.
That's not, they're not there for that. They're somebody who agrees with you
mm-hmm.
and can help you in work,
mm-hmm.
right? It's not necessarily a prayer warrior.
Right.
And my prayer warrior is not necessarily somebody who I get counsel for marriage because they're not married.
That's true.
Right?
That's true. It could be.
They may not be married.
Yeah.
And if they are, maybe they don't have a good marriage, but they can pray heaven down.
Mm-hmm.
You pray for me. You pray for me. But you over here, you have a sound marriage. Okay, let me get some marriage advice from you.
Right.
You over here, you have financial, but your marriage sucks.
Yeah.
So keep your marriage advice and give me finance advice. Okay.
Even if there are no kids involved, just the time for those emotional bonds to break. If they're so quick to hop out of bed with this person, you know, like just so quick to just, oh yeah, I was married and it ain't working out and I'm already ready to move on.
Yes.
That is a red flag.
Certainly.
That you need to be mourning.
Yes.
Your marriage.
Yes. You don't need to be over here, sir.
That's a problem. Another thing that can be a problem is that they could be a serial divorcee. Divorcee.
Yes, serial wetter.
I'm not right. Like, I'm not trying to just, okay, if you're gonna be so quick to just, because, and the reason I'm saying quick is not, you don't know what the timeline has been to lead up to their divorce. I'm not saying that they don't have a plausible divorce going on.
Right.
What I'm saying is, if your divorce hasn't even been, the ink ain't even dried,
ink ain't dry,
and you're ready to move on already,
they ain't mailed it
how
out.
How seriously are you going to take a relationship with me?
Right.
Let's go. Or the third one is they could be like, you know what? I really, my heart, I've had a change of heart and I want to work it out with my wife or husband.
Yeah. Already got the draws. Already made you fall in love. And now you made him realize I really love my wife.
And number four, then you run into the people not being okay with your relationship.
Oh yeah. Certainly.
And people questioning your integrity. Because let's say oh, well, we were just, we just were friends and nothing happened until the divorce was finalized. Don't nobody believe that crap.
Yeah, absolutely.
No. And now you just got it. You're starting your relationship off on a bad foot.
It's definitely a bad foot.
No, it's a no. Kunta
Kinte.
It's a no. Foot is, all of it hurt. Is a no.
That's a no on a hurt foot. Yikes.
You're funny. Okay.
Third point is play to your strengths. Mm-hmm. Either hers or yours. Your strength is what others have identified as your strength. Her strength to you is what others have missed about her. Mm. This is in a first reaction. And what it means is that what you don't want to do is and people say this, but it's true. Sometimes you do. If I see you and I say, oh, wow, you're so pretty. Mm-hmm. That's great because women always want to know that they're pretty. But if you're pretty, you know, you've had that 1,000 times.
Yep.
Yeah. 1,000 people have called you pretty. It doesn't mean the same thing.
Right.
But if I say, wow, you have just a really calming presence.
Yeah. Yeah.
I really feel nice around you.
Yeah.
Now it's like, oh, he sees something in me mm-hmm. that's more than just my surface.
Yes.
Because that's what she really wants anyway. She wants you to think she's sexy, but she doesn't want you to only think she's sexy. She wants you to think that she wants your rather. She wants you to know who she really is, that she can really be intimate with you, like who she really is on the inside, her internal strength.
Right.
The things about her that nobody's looking for. You know, that's her strength. Your strength is identified strength that others agree with. Okay.
Yeah.
You feel like you're funny. Other people have tried to fight you consistently saying, if you make another joke, I'm that means that's not your strength.
Right.
Your strength is something that other people can identify.
That is very true.
It's very true. Not just how you feel about yourself.
That's right.
I know I'm cool. I'm walking in. You tripping. Oh, hey, girl, you tripping in walking in. You musty.
Right. Oh, my gosh.
Come on now. I know I smell good. My natural man.
Mm-mm. I feel like people don't even know. People don't be going around saying they smell good if they don't smell good.
Oh, man.
That's something else. That might be a deeper issue.
That's a whole other thing. You thinking your natural male essence is sexy. It's like, sir, we are going to have to escort you out of whatever this place is. You cannot be here anymore. You smell. But yeah, understanding your strength, and I say play to your strength, it's like, okay, if you know that you're not the best talker, mm-hmm. then you need to maybe think of something to say.
Right. It's true.
Yeah. If it might be 6, mm-hmm. but if you cut it off at 3,
you never got there.
Matter of fact, and here's even deeper, Joe. If you cut it off at 3, you'll think that marriage doesn't work. Mm. Whereas if you would have actually stretched it out to maybe 4.5, you'll realize it could work, but maybe it didn't work with that person. Mm-hmm. That's an observation. I'll say that.
Yeah.
Is that the worse off you end your marriage, the less faith you'll probably have in marriage.
Yeah.
Is that, oh, I tried marriage. It did not work at all. Mm-hmm. Not realizing, like, you're cooking gumbo. Mm-hmm. You're cooking mole.
Yeah, come on now.
You're cooking whatever soup or broth that Gordon Ramsay's always talking about.
Right.
A bolognese. A bolognese takes off 7 days. It's like, this mole's been stewing for 18 days. It's just like, what are y'all cooking? Right. Like, oh, my gosh. It's like, they literally always like, yo, you can't make a beef bowl. You can't make a bolognese sauce in an hour. The only way to actually really, let me say this right. The only actual way to guarantee or even bring about the change that you want in marriage is through time.
Yeah.
And people are shortcutting their marriages and the time that's needed for that to actually happen. They won't even get to it.
Yeah.
Because they're not working the steps. It's like they have the struggles in the beginning mm-hmm. and they may or may not get addressed. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times they probably don't. Like there's something you don't like or something you expect that you're not getting, or there's something you don't expect to get, but you're getting, even mm-hmm. though you don't want it. And now you can't get past that.
Yeah.
And you end up in year 2, or year 3, you're just like, yo,
this ain't what I thought it was.
And now the time that, because here's a case, it actually might take 5 years. Mm-hmm. How do I say this? It's not always about how it looks so much as it is about the pull of sin on your flesh. Mm-hmm. That is really why he wants us to stay away from it.
Yeah.
Because I wish I could remember the scripture. I had brought it up in one Bible study because it was interesting to me that Paul was saying for them, hey, I need you to abstain from these things. And he wasn't saying it for the sake of them looking like something.
Right.
He was saying it for the sake of them being something.
Yeah.
You have to be a light, not look like a light.
Mm.
Even though you need to look like a light, but it's more important that you be a light so that you don't have to try and look like a light.
Wow.
Right? You be a light so that you can just stay away from what will pull you away from God. Mm-hmm. Your flesh is strong. It's strong.
Mm-hmm.
You don't even have to feed it.
Yeah.
You don't even have to feed your flesh. It is ready.
When
you wake up, it is waiting to do something that good.
If you're not having conversations about the future,
yes,
you're not picturing yourself being married to this person.
Wow. That hurts.
Yeah, like that's the reality because like it's natural for you to start talking about life in through a lens of togetherness.
Yes.
If you don't start talking about life that way, like just planning in your mind that because of course you're going to be there because that's what naturally happens.
Right.
When you're with the person and you don't plan on not being with the person. Oh, so of course, whatever I plan on doing in the future,
that's
you're in that.
Wow. That's you. But if people weren't fornicating and experiencing all these sexual experiences with people. So now what happens is you have a sexual experience with someone and it's wonderful. And you're like, oh, that's cool, but it didn't work out with them. Cool, I'm going to go to the next person. And it should be good because, you know, I know what I'm doing and it's horrible. So now you've had the experience with somebody who was great and now somebody who's bad. So now you have the experience of, oh, I know it can be good.
Right.
So now I'm going to go find somebody who's good. And then what happens is it's bad again. And then it's bad again. Oh, and then it's good. Oh, so I got one. But then that don't work out. Oh. So now I got to go find another one. Might be bad again. And now you done got you 15 people in.
Yeah.
Still single. None of it's working out. So what would have happened is if you had been with the person that you love and put it in, no pun intended, put the work in with them, you can make sex good. Hearing in my spirit is that you actually do need to move. Like, but you don't want to. Like, that's what's crazy about it. It's like kids are just doing what comes natural just because they have so much energy. But your body actually needs movement. I just said that movement is medicine.
Motion
is
motion. It's true. It's true.
Right? It's great for your body. And if you stop moving, your body says, well, I guess you don't need this body anymore. It starts breaking down. So
we also just had that.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
You actually think about, like, just tying it into boredom is like, no, there's something that you don't want to do
that you're not doing that you need to
you
do.
Need to do
yes
and it may cause the same sort of atrophy of boredom like you know our relationship is like oh it's not working
because
we ain't exercising it
yikes
I'm out here we ain't exercising it Chels. We ain't doing no leg ups we ain't doing and people this is an obvious one but like we ain't doing our date nights no more You know, and not just because we ain't got no money. Well, it ain't really no excuse because you can have a free date night, and those typically are the best.
They are.
Amen. But you ain't doing no date nights. We ain't strokey-doking no more.
My God.
You know what I mean? I ain't rubbing her back.
And you do get tired.
Yeah.
And then just not feel like it. And it's not that you don't love them.
Right.
Or don't want to invest. You just tired.
You tired. But if you're not careful, that rut is just like, and I said this to you the other, you know, for whatever reason, I looked up, was like, man, we ain't had sex in like 11 days.
It was not 11 days.
How many
First
days?
First of all, we
How
had
many,
a
we had
Madea
sex
moment.
In 14 days.
That's, we had a Madea moment.
Ah, Lord.
It had been 5 days.
It's been 25 days since I last
exactly
seen you naked.
That's exactly what he did the other day.
What are we doing here?
It was day five.
Day five? I was like,
hold
on.
He was like, it's been like 7 days.
It's like, oh, what
been
are
like
we,
9 days.
What are we doing here? Oh, my Lord.
Yeah.
And then we end up sick, you know, and you can look up and it's like, oh, man, when was the last time I seen my wife naked? Was that 2 weeks ago? I'm like, oh, no, this has got to stop. Yes. But if I say to myself, I'll get around to it.
Right.
Now you can set a new precedent. Like you're setting a precedent of boredom in your relationship when you stop doing what's necessary and instead you do what comes comfortably.
Yeah.
Did he just say Ike Turner is his favorite singer?
Okay. That's funny.
That might be a red flag.